Today is the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. Our scripture readings from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 21 through 31. Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 through 27. And the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. Today's message is titled, For the Moment or Eternity. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning at verse 21. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Here ends the reading from the prophet Isaiah. Psalm 147, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord! How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of a man. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Here ends our reading from Psalm 147. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning of verse 16. Paul writes to the church in Corinth, Yet, when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I'm simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, so not make use of my rights in preaching it. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone. To win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games go into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it a slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Here ends the reading from 1 Corinthians. The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to a nearby village, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Here ends the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and that things that had grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Again, from the Gallicium Sacramentary. Hear the great grandeur of the word from the prophet Isaiah. Portions from our reading from Isaiah chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Indeed, great is the Lord and awesome in power and majesty. Everlasting is the Lord. How often do we keep these truths, these things about the living God in mind when you go about moment by moment during the day? In the sunshine of Saturday afternoon, yesterday afternoon, I stepped out onto the front porch at home to soak in some sun while I was munching a granola bar. I was taking a break from the basement workshop where I've been building set pieces for Emmanuel Christian Academy's upcoming performance of The Sound of Music. And as I was standing in the sunshine, a small plane flew overhead and heading west. Quickly, my mind flashed back to a moment my dad and the flying club at Wright Pat. The year was 1968, if I remember correctly, but somewhere around 1968 or so. My dad had learned to fly, and one afternoon he took us up to fly in a small high-wing Cessna with tricycle landing gear. And this was a test to see how my mom and us kids would do in a small plane. My dad had plans to fly to Iowa in the plane, but wanted to get a short session first to gauge us, especially us kids and my mom, how we'd do. So standing on my front porch all these years later, I thank the Lord the plane trip never came to be. It never happened. You see, my dad came to his senses and decided an over 500-mile trip in a small plane was not a good idea. You see, at the family farm where my grandmother grew up, they had a small airstrip. And they actually had, I believe it was a Piper J3 Cub. It was painted yellow, and I seem to recall it. And if you remember Bob, for many years ago, he passed away a few years back and all that. He knew my grandmother's nephew. And he even flew a plane off that field there in Callander, Iowa, years ago. So my dad had this idea. And so I was standing on my porch munching on a granola bar, and a moment from 55 years ago came to my mind like it was yesterday. Time really does tick on moment by moment. And many of the family has gone home to the Lord as these moments tick on. This summer will be 23 years since my mom went home to the Lord. September will be 20 years since my grandma at age 100 went home to the Lord. And this September will be 4 years since my dad went home to the Lord. How often do we get caught up in the moment, and we forget how quickly that moment will pass. Pass from the moment into eternity. That ongoing, never-ending moment that's released from the constraint of time. Big picture. 2,000 years ago. A little more, a little less. 2,000 years ago. It's just a moment ago. Paul writes about preaching the gospel, 1 Corinthians 9. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. And then he goes on to say, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Preach the gospel, it's a phrase. It means to proclaim the good news. It's one word in the Greek. It's euangelizo. In its usage in the New Testament, euangelizo, it means to share the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Literally, it means gospelizing. And euangelizo is a compound word simply meaning good news. Euangelizo, gospelizing Paul. Paul felt it was a great woe if he didn't do that. Literally expressing grief, great grief. And even denouncing himself. That's what woe means, denouncing if he was not gospelizing those around him. And then listen to what Paul endured. And he still preached. He's still gospelizing. Whipped with 39 lashes 5 different times. Beaten with rods 3 different times. Pummeled with stones and left for dead 1 time. Shipwrecked. three different times. Adrift at sea one night and one day. Dangers from rivers, robbers. Dangers from even his own people, the Gentiles. Dangers in the city. Dangers in the wilderness. Danger at sea. Danger from false brothers. There was toil. There was hardship. Many sleepless nights. Many, many sleepless nights. And oftentimes hungry and thirsty, cold and exposed. And the pressure and anxiety for all the churches he daily cared for. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. Paul must preach the good news. In like manner, Luther must preach the good news. He could not be silent. He never would recant. At the Diet of Worms in 1521, with his life at stake, Luther says, he concludes, "Unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, my conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, for to go against conscience would be neither right nor safe. God help me! Here I stand. I can do no other." In other words, what is written in the Scriptures, this is what Luther was meaning by what he said. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Luther means what is written in the Scripture is truth. And Luther's conscience is captive to this truth of God's Word. And he, Luther, he will continue to preach, continue to write, continue to teach, justified by grace through faith. For the eternal is much more important than the moment. Yes, Luther could recant in the moment and be safe, but that would be at the cost of eternity. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he could have acted in likewise manner to save his life for the moment, but that would have cost eternity. Paul could have kept quiet too and fade off into the sunset, retire in some quiet corner of Galilee, mind his own business. But he had to be faithful to his calling as an apostle to the Gentiles. And so Paul would end up in Rome and be martyred for the faith that he had to preach. For Paul, his preaching was running the race to get the prize. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. No, I beat my body, I make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. That word preach in verse 27, it's a different Greek word. It is kairouso. Kairouso. And it means to herald, to proclaim. And it's to proclaim with conviction and with persuasion. The way kairouso is used in the New Testament is preaching the gospel as the authoritative and binding word of God, bringing eternal accountability to all who hear. In other words, you've heard the preaching of the redeeming grace found only in Jesus through the finished work on the cross. You've heard this word of God. Now, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond? Repent and believe, or reject this offer of free grace in Christ Jesus? And thereby the consequences of rejecting the word of grace offered to you in Jesus. These moments come and go. But what awaits is in eternity. These moments come and go. But what awaits in eternity depends on the moment of responding or rejecting up to that moment of the last breath, the last thought, the last moment of what is earthly life. Then will come a last moment in a person's life like the two thieves on the cross. One on each side of Jesus as Jesus was being crucified. One thief responded, the other thief rejected. Only one was guaranteed, as Jesus said, this very day you will be with me in paradise. Was it the thief that rejected or the thief that responded? Jesus said, this very day you will be with me in paradise. This event is written about in Luke chapter 23. Do you remember those old coffee percolators? I mean, there's one sitting on top of the fridge in the church's kitchen here. I remember growing up, and at church potlucks, there was often two or three of these giant 2-foot-tall percolators going with enough water, enough coffee grounds to make at least 60 cups of coffee. And you better be sure to get that percolator going as soon as you entered into the church, for it takes a long time for it to percolate 60-plus cups of coffee. And then came along those little drip 12-cup coffee drip makers. I mean, you can make coffee faster. And then came along Keurig with the coffee maker, put in a packet, push the button. Within seconds, you got a cup of coffee. Now, as my preferred beverage is Mountain Dew, I don't drink coffee. I wonder, does anyone still drink instant coffee? Do you still make instant coffee? Or does anyone take the time, really take the time to brew a good cup of coffee? The old-fashioned way. Super Bowl's just around the corner. And I can tell you there's no speeding up smoking a pulled pork shoulder, big pork shoulder to make pulled pork. Or there's no way to speed up smoking a brisket, a beef brisket. And as that delicious hickory smoke aroma fills your nostrils, it gets the mouth watering in expectation. Still at least in 6 more hours or so to go. I want it right now. I want it this moment. Like Veruca Salt and Willy Wonka. I want it. And I want it now. And remember at the end of her dance in that room, she was declared a bad egg. I mean, ignoring the bigger picture. To make the child happy in the present moment, such as Dr. Benjamin Spock said all those years ago, beginning in the 1940s, doing so will bring about a tyrant, like Veruca Salt was. Raising a child is not about having a happy child every moment. Rather, it is stepping back and seeing the big picture of what kind of adult do I want my daughters to become? This meant for me often while shopping, the sooner you learn contentment, the happier you'll be. With each impulse as they brought something up to me, can we buy this now? Can we get this? Can we buy this? The sooner you learn contentment, the happier you will be. And after a while of always answering the same way, my daughter stopped asking me, can I get this? While in the store. And in like manner, look at the moment with eyes towards eternity. Are you understanding the moment with implications of eternity? This is expressed by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. To the weak, I become weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. Paul saw the moment before him, and his eyes were set on it towards eternity. How to make this moment about eternity? In other words, how to make this moment about salvation in Jesus Christ? Translated as save, the Greek word is sozo, and it means to save. More specifically, the way it's used in the New Testament, the meaning is to deliver out of danger and into safety. The implication being, this is of God, rescuing sinners from the penalty and power of sin into the Lord's provision and safety when believing Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Paul would do all he could do to communicate this salvation, the sozo, in Christ, without compromising the truth. Becoming all things has been misused to justify these so-called seeker-sensitive services, most often in the past exemplified by Willow Creek. And this is quoting Bob Burney, Baptist Press, November 2007. The size of the crowd, rather than the depth of the heart, determines success. If the crowd was large, then surely God was blessing the ministry. Churches were built by demographic studies, professional strategists, marketing research, meeting the quote-unquote, felt needs, and sermons consisted with these techniques. We were told that preaching was out, relevance was in, doctrine didn't matter as nearly as much as innovation. If it wasn't cutting-edge and consumer-friendly, it was doomed. The mention of sin, salvation, and sanctification were taboo and replaced by Starbucks strategy and sensitivity. End of that quote. And so after a multi-year study on the effectiveness of Willow Creek philosophy and the ministry programs of seeker-sensitive services, they found it was actually detrimental to making disciples of Jesus Christ. Quoting again, the report reveals that most of what they have been doing for these many years and what they have taught millions of others to do is not producing solid disciples of Jesus Christ. Numbers, yes, but disciples, if you simply want a crowd, the seeker-sensitive model produces results. If you want solid, sincere, mature followers of Jesus Christ, it's a bust. John chapter 6, Jesus proclaims, He is the bread of life. He is the living bread that came down from heaven. John 6, now beginning of verse 51, Jesus says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which is our gift for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Jumping down to verse 58. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. Now the people responded, this is a hard teaching. And they decided, you know, we can't follow this. We can't take this, our teaching. The larger portion of the disciple group following Jesus, they turned away. They left. They would no longer follow Jesus. Jesus turns to the remaining teeny tiny group. The larger portion left, the remaining teeny tiny group, specifically the 12. And he asked them, will you leave this? Are you two going to leave me because of this truth? I am telling you, I am the bread of life. They ate manna, they died. You have to eat me to live eternally. You must have this bread of life. What are you going to do, disciples who stay? The very few and small. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 68. Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Words of eternal life. Jesus has the words of eternal life. John chapter 6. Keep that in mind. It is the word of life that Jesus comes and preaches. So turn into our gospel this morning from Mark chapter 1. The events flow from the synagogue where a demon-possessed man was set free by Jesus. Now they're in the home of Simon and Andrew. They find Simon's mother-in-law with a fever in bed. This shows that one time Simon was married and now is caring for his mother-in-law. Jesus goes in and heals her, and she begins to show that hospitality by waiting on them all. And then after sunset, and what that means, it's an indicator of time. After sunset, it means the Sabbath was over. So the crowd quickly found Jesus and bringing to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. And they just seemed like it was the whole town was there outside of Simon's house. Archaeology has uncovered a home that was converted to a church with other churches built on top of it. And all the data points to that site, that archaeological site, to being Simon Peter's home, where these events took place. Jesus healed many. He drove out demons too. How late into the night this continued? It began after sunset. How late into the night? We don't know. Mark doesn't write. But Mark writes this. Early the next morning, while it was still dark. Means Jesus had very little sleep, if any sleep. Jesus gets up and finds a quiet place to be with his Father in prayer. Simon and the others get up and go, "Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus?" And they go looking for Jesus, finally finding Jesus, Mark 1, verse 37. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Listen to Jesus' response. It's really profound. And it teaches us much about moments or eternity. Moments or eternity. Mark 1, verse 38, Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Really let that stick out with you. That is why I have come. To preach. To preach. Missing in the English is the intentionality behind going to the other towns. You'll find in the Greek this little word, hina. Hina. And it means in order that or so that. For the purpose, in order that. Looking to the aim intended result. Jesus will go to the other towns and villages in order that to preach there. And so that he could preach there. The purpose is to preach, is to herald the good news. Here the word you find again, keruso. As mentioned earlier this morning, keruso. Sent by God to preach. Sent to preach. What was he preaching? The words of eternal life. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." He's sent to preach the words of eternal life. Now, healings. They are wonderful. And we love hearing of these great works of mercy, the miracles of healings in the sacred scriptures. But these healings are for the moment. All whom Jesus healed will die. Even those Jesus raised from the dead, the little girl, the widow's son, and his dear friend Lazarus, each will die. The healings are signs that Jesus is who he reveals himself to be, God Almighty, the Son. But it is the words of life that bring faith into our hearts and souls. These words is what saves and bring us to believe the words of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And it is by believing these words of life, we have eternal life in Christ Jesus. What does all this mean? Live with eternal life in mind, moment by moment, each day. For it is by grace through faith in the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. And that eternal life is to be lived out in the moment by moment by moment. Not instant gratification. Yeah, healings are wonderful. Miracles are wonderful. We've seen them happening, healings. But the healings are for a moment. But these words of Christ that he preaches are for eternal life. Repent and believe and have eternal life. And then go as Paul did. And the other apostles did. Go gospelizing. Share the good news. Euangelizo. That's gospelizing. The two different Greek words. Euangelizo. It's preaching the good news. Preach the gospel. Good news. Euangelizo. Keruso is preach. Proclaim. You're sent to preach and proclaim. Euangelizo. Keruso. Two different Greek words. They hear. It means preach. But the good news. Proclaim. You must do these things moment by moment. So moment by moment, our eternal life. It's eternal life. Look to these words of eternal life. For you have been saved and given this life, sotza, saved by grace through faith in the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. Free gift. Now live eternally, moment by moment. Amen and amen.